I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Mimi. Oh. Hey, Gigi. When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up a glass, pick out a glass. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get queerified.
Welcome back to Queerified. I am Gigi Gorgeous.
And this is Mimi.
On Queerified, you'll hear from very special guests in the LGBTQIA+ community.
And some iconic allies as well.
Today on this episode, we have activist, performer, producer, reality TV personality, social media mogul, and all-around fab queen, Frankie Grande.
You may know him as Ariana Grande's brother, but as you'll hear in this conversation, you'll see that his light, influence, and talent radiates so bright.
But before we get started, please don't forget to call into the Queerified hotline. That's 1-844-QUEERIES. That's spelled QUEERYS.
Call and ask us anything. Nothing is off limits, and maybe we'll answer your question right here on the pod.
Pause this right now and call immediately. What are you waiting for? We know you have a question for us.
And while you're at it, please leave us 5 stars and a nice review, and only 5 stars and a nice review. Thank you.
Now, places, everyone. The show's about to start. Curtains up on Frankie Grande.
We are back on Queerified today with the Frankie Grande. Frankie, how are you?
I'm so glad to be here, and I'm also glad to be prefaced by the word the. I'm the Frankie.
The one and only, mama.
Oh, yeah, that's so exciting. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful to be hanging out with you guys.
Aw, ditto. Honestly, we haven't really hung out one-on-one, but we saw each other recently at Halloween Haunt, or was it Hauntoween?
Hauntoween. Okay, wait. Gagged by this. Wait, first of all, so you know that there was a Disney Freeform event and Hauntoween at the same time. The Disney Freeform event was 31 nights of Halloween, and this was 31 days of Hauntoween.
Hauntoween. But it was based towards, like, kids, this one, the one that we went to.
But also, like, who is in charge of that Instagram?
Right.
I need to, like, have a word with that person, yes. You know, and be like, you need to change your Instagram handle immediately, because that was very confused to us Instagrammers who get very confused when tagging.
We got to tag in the moment and live our lives at the same time. Yeah. It's a lot to juggle.
I tagged the wrong thing. I get a call from Matt Gibson. That's like, you tagged Freeform.
Wait, did you go to both or did you only go to one?
No, I only went to one, but I tagged the wrong one. Anyway, sorry, just went to it. We saw each other at Hauntoween. It was fun.
Speaking of Halloween, are you a Halloween fan? Do you dress up?
Yes. Every year, I love doing body painting. It's my favorite thing to
do. Of course. Yeah. Any excuse?
Yeah, it's great. It's like 4 hours.
Jeez, you have,
like,
that's intense.
Like, pink lungs afterwards, or like whatever color they decide to spray your body. And it is like, it's, I mean, but like, hey, you look fantastic. So I'm all about, like, the full fantasy, you know, like head to toe, like wear as little clothes as humanly possible, paint your body, go out. And it's also like, I don't have to think about what I need to, like, want to be, because you don't have to purchase anything, because you're literally just wearing
a bun. You're just naked. Yeah, exactly. I'm a bunny. Duh.
I'm wearing a sock.
I'm pink.
And then, yeah, exactly. Exactly. The artist. I am pink. The artist. I come with the chandelier wherever I go, and I like to sing upside down. There you go.
Well, when we saw each other at Hauntoween, I was like, so what do you want to drink? Like, what do you want to, like, I'm going to service you. You're coming over to my house.
Service.
You're in the podcast room. Oh, wait. No, I'm going to be of service to you. Okay, that came out really wrong.
We will be serving you.
I'm going to serve you. Yeah. Okay, ew. So you said, I'm sober, but I'll take candy.
That's true.
So it kind of is like we're in a Halloween vibe right now, because there's a bowl of candy to your right.
Which candies are there?
I am eating it. Okay, well, I went straight for the peanut M&Ms, like dove straight into it. There is Reese's Pieces, which is amazing. There's Snickers, Lifesavers, which also I should probably have because I had coffee right before this, because it's been a long day. Other kinds of M&Ms, Twix, and just everything wonderful, everything you could possibly want in a little Halloween amuse-bouche.
Love it. And I was wondering if we could get into like sobriety. Like I really was wondering, like, how long have you been sober? Is there a reason that you've been sober?
Oh, yes.
I want to know.
Yeah. So I've been sober a little over 4 years now.
Amazing. Congrats.
Thank you so much. And you know why? Because I mean, drugs and alcohol had kind of become the solution to my problems rather than me actually being able to solve them on my own, you know, and it brought me further and further away from serenity. Like, you know, like right now, like I have a healthy relationship, like with my friends, with my family, you know, and basically when I got to the point of where I needed to stop drinking, like I was drinking and using, you know, pills and potions, definitely emphasis on the pills, pills and potions, to the point of where like I was like not useful to like the people around me, you know, people used to rely on me. And instead of being able to rely on me, they were like, oh, we're not even going to think about asking you because we know you're not going to be able to show up. And I'm like,
Was there a moment that like, was the last straw?
I mean, it was definitely after the Manchester bombing, when I wasn't able to show up for my family in the time when they needed me the most. Thank you.
It's terrible.
It was a crazy,
horrific,
horrible event. And I needed to be able to show up for my family. And in that moment, rather than, you know, being the person that everyone like turned to, it was kind of like, I just couldn't help. Right. I was incapable of helping, and I am the person that solves. And so, like, you know, in that moment, I had, like, a moment of clarity. And in that moment of clarity, I realized, like, yo, I have a problem. Mm. And, like, I need to get help. I asked for help. I took the help. And I've been sober ever since.
Wow. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I went to treatment, like, a few weeks after the Manchester attack. And I have been sober ever since. So...
Wow. Well, congrats. That is that's deeper than I could have imagined. Yeah. Literally, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you sharing your story, I'm sure this is not the first time you're saying it.
No, it's not the first.
It's probably helped so many people and pushed them into sobriety when they've needed it the most.
And I hope so. I hope so. And that's why I do like to talk about it a lot, because, you know, it's obviously an ongoing thing, you know, like I have to be on top. Listen.
Of course.
Like it's very easy.
Gotta
for
get
me
your
to,
ducks
like,
in a row.
Like I gotta make sure that I'm constantly like practicing what I preach, honey. Otherwise, like I'm gonna slip right back into it. Because
totally.
That's the easy button for me. It's very easy for me to be like, you know what? I do get stressed out. Like life is still happening.
Well, right as you came over. Sorry, what are your pronouns?
I am he, him.
He, him. Okay. I was going to call you she, but I didn't want to.
No, but I actually, you know what?
You like she.
Interesting. I accept all pronouns.
Okay. I like that.
But you know, like I identify like as a cis male. So
right.
like, I feel like I should say he, him.
Right.
But I accept all pronouns.
Good to know.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, I do.
It is like, very good to know. You never know unless you ask. But as I was saying, so you came over, you're like, girl, I'm a little tired. I've been up since 6 a.m. I called my wake up time was 4 a.m. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, you're saying you get stressed out. I see why.
No,
she's
I
busy.
Do. Exactly. She is so booked and blessed, and it's wonderful. But at the same time, I need to make sure that I have, you know, like I'm always remembering like I have to put my sobriety first, because if I don't put my sobriety first, then it's the first thing that I'm gonna lose. Think about it. If you
don't
put your sobriety first, the first thing you're gonna lose. Second thing you're...
Is there anything that helps you, like meditation, or did you replace that with something else?
Yeah, meditation, yoga, you know...
Never done yoga.
Therapy. Yoga.
You've never done yoga?
Yeah, I would go yoga.
I don't think
Are you
so.
Kidding?
Isn't it like where you sweat and stretch?
It depends if it's hot yoga.
It's actually really hard. Like it's like a lot of body control. It's a lot of like positioning. Like I find myself like shaking in class because like, and like sweating from like the control.
Ooh.
Like
it takes. I do the restorative yoga.
Oh, where you like lie down.
Yes, exactly. You lie down and you stretch.
So you sleep.
And it's really like relaxing and peaceful. But yes, of course there is yoga where you sweat and die.
Listen, I am a person who's like obsessed with fitness as well. So like anything that I do 110%. So like, I want to be in pain when I do like anything. You know
if
what I'm saying?
If it doesn't hurt, it's not working.
It's not working.
That's my motto in literal life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
It's exactly the way I feel. It's exactly the way I feel.
Well, Frankie, thank you so much for sharing that, opening up. I feel like everybody, especially in like big cities, it's so hard to stay away from the partying, the drugs, the pills, the addictive personalities, and just like toxic behavior in general. And I'm really proud that you are over that, 4 years over that, and also able to talk about it so openly, because that helps like so many people. Yeah. And a lot of our listeners have expressed to us things such as that. And I know you speaking out on it so openly. And like even having a little bit of comedy with it, which is like probably the way that breaks down the most barriers, you know?
So well, I always find I really that, by the that. Way. I think the comedy is like the key to any
it's
sort
the
of
saving
humor.
Grace.
I really do. I have a very dark sense of humor as well. Like I say things that still people are like, what? And then like I start laughing. And they're like, oh, that was funny. Okay, got it.
Oh, you weren't serious.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, cool.
I'm the same way.
Okay, yeah. Cool. But yeah, I just anyone who's out there that is struggling, just I would just say like the hardest step is asking for help. But once you can be honest enough with yourself and the people around you, I promise you, as soon as you ask for help, like everyone's gonna be like, oh, we got you. Like, girl, we are there for you. Like, and everyone's gonna be so ready to come to your aid. So that's the biggest step. And in my family, it was like it wasn't something I was raised being able to do. My grandfather was very much like you like do things yourself. You know, like we don't ask for help. Like we sort it out himself. You know, he's a self-made man. You know, his parents
Italian background.
Yes, Italian right. background. Mm-hmm. His my great grandparents. Parents all came over from Italy. It was very like make your way yourself. So it wasn't like a thing. Like we weren't always like, oh, I need help with this. I know it was like, no, sort it out.
Say that. Yeah,
exactly. Of course. So what it was hard for me to do, but once I did it, I was like so happy for it. So help is out there, you guys. And if
it
I can do it,
I
was a mess, honey. I was a mess. I was a mess. And I'm doing real good now. So
love it.
Yeah.
Love just it,
a,
love
so,
it, love
just
it.
To toot my own horn. I'm doing great.
She's doing great, sweetie.
I am living my best, truest life, okay? Look at me. I'm with Gigi Gorgeous. Nothing can be better.
I'm with Reiki Mama.
In person.
Let's do a little rewind. The world got to know you on basically on the season 16 of Big Brother. And I have to be honest, that's really when I became a big fan of yours. I literally watched that season only because of Zanky.
Oh, Zanky. I got an IV bag, by the way. It says, I have one of those horrible bandages across my arm.
Oh, you better work. I need one right about now.
I just
dehydrated.
I know. I have peed like 5,000 times today. I'm just taking it off just so like doesn't look like, you know, I was just hospitalized. It was just an IV bag.
It's an IV bag, people.
Don't worry about
it's a bad
We live in LA. It's pretty normal.
Yeah, it's right. It has nothing to do with anything. Go ahead.
Well, I was also a really big fan of Big Brother season 13. I feel like that relationship, let me just
Wait,
say.
Wait, season
16.
Yo, oh,
what did
yo,
I say?
You better come through with the facts.
Wait, what did I say?
13. You said 13.
Oh, I
16.
Did? Oh, I meant I saw 16 in my head. Sorry.
It's okay. They're
season
really close.
Season 16. You and Zach. So Zach identified, for anybody that doesn't know, as a straight male.
Yes.
And you being gay, open, flamboyant, you guys kind of had like a little showmance. And I don't know if it was like the first showmance in Big Brother history where two people like yourselves got together. Usually it's people who are like, you know, sexual with each other.
Yeah, but boundaries.
You literally were so romantic with him though. Like all up on him, rubbing him.
There was
like
lots of cuddling.
I want to ask you, so when you're in the Big Brother house, of course, for anybody that obviously doesn't know, it's people, strangers in a house being filmed. The world can watch 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. It's Squid Game.
The feeds.
So, oh my God, it is Squid Game.
Squid Game, yeah.
With more cameras.
It's Squid Game, yeah,
it's
exactly.
Squid Game, but more sick.
yeah, exactly.
As if Squid Game, the people dying, wasn't sick enough. This is sicker.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's because it's real. It's not a TV show. I mean, it is a TV show, but it's real.
Right.
Like when you're in that house, everything is real. It's so real.
And I've seen people that come out of the house and they've said racist things on the show. And like the world is pissed because the world is watching, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
That's the whole thing. Big Brother is always watching. So like, were you ever thinking like, this is going to be a big deal that I'm cuddling with this guy?
No.
Really?
You never really thought about it?
I had no idea.
Really?
I had no idea. And you know, it's so funny because like, you know, I went into that house and I was just like, I'm going to be 100% Frankie, like just authentically myself, like no matter what. And I didn't realize what it was to have someone who is as gay and as flamboyant as me go onto that show and be as cutthroat, brutal, ruthless, and competitive as I was. Like, I kind of got to show, like, an alternate side to the world of what a flaming homosexual can do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know I was doing that on the show. Like, I found out afterwards because people told me, they were like, you know, like, you know, it's very, very, like, Bible Belt, like, red state. Like,
isn't it weird, though, to be
Big
like,
Brother.
Oh, I love when you did this, and you're like, oh my God, people were watching when I did that? Like, did you forget?
Yeah.
I would totally forget.
I mean, when you are in that house and when you come out of the house, all you want to do is talk about that house because it's the only thing that you can think about. Yeah. It's your whole life. So it's very interesting to me, like, to find how, like, there were, I have Republican conservative fans.
Oh, that's a trip.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's a trip. Like, I do. Like, I really do.
God.
And I was gagged.
Were you like, you know what I stand for, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
And it was interesting. Like, I got a lot of people that were like, we thought homosexuality was an abomination, but then we saw you on Big Brother and we don't believe that our God could hate someone like you. I'm like, what?
I love that.
Yes, it's wonderful.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. Like, the people who are in their echo chambers are not really doing anything to further the cause. It's the people who go out there and put themselves out there.
And meet the people.
And put themselves in front. Exactly.
And the people that go to Disney World and meet America. You know what I'm saying? I will go to Disney World and I will say hello to everyone in that line. You know what I'm
saying?
I will go to Disney World and I will greet the people. And I do.
In that moment when you were in the house, did you ever think that, you know, that relationship was ever going to be real? Like, was it real for you in that moment? Or were you like, I'm on a TV show?
You must have, because I know it's every little gay boy's fantasy to make friends with the straight jock and be a little bit touchy and then maybe something go a little bit too far.
You know, it's interesting because, like, first of all, I had two very, very close straight romances in that house as a bromance. And the other one was with Caleb Reynolds, who is like super Southern, very, very like Catholic, conservative, Christian, like absolutely like make America great again. You know what I'm saying? Like on his Instagram post.
Gagged.
So like that was the first person that I started having like sharing a bed with and like having like deep talks with that I never, ever thought I would, you know, have an intersexual world. But it was the gagalicious part about me and Zach was that neither of us knew that we were in love with each other until we left the house.
You never really know what you have until it's gone.
No. We had no idea.
You were in love?
I mean, the world told us that we were in love with each other, right? Like, so we left the house and the world was like, Zanky, like you guys loved each other so deeply. Like, and we were like, did we? We were like, we did?
You guys were just living.
We were just living our lives.
It was almost like survival a little bit, right? It was just you two.
A very good bond. But like neither of us thought that we were romantically in love with each other until the world told us that we were.
So wait, and what happened? Like, what happened after?
Do we love each other?
Did you guys hook up after?
Are we romantically involved with each other?
I'm sure they did.
You probably
did,
huh?
Let's just say they did. They did.
I mean,
they did.
You totally did.
Oh, there were questions that we wanted to have answered. And so we did our research.
Good. And you found the answer.
We did research.
Okay.
There was research that was done.
Do you guys still talk? Because that's almost like a relationship, like a boyfriend you had, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like it feels like an ex. He feels like an ex.
So you guys don't talk anymore.
Like we don't talk like we used to do. We don't talk anymore.
He is an ex.
He is. I mean, to be honest though, being in a Big Brother house with someone, you'd probably connect on ways that you wouldn't in the real life with somebody because you're not with them all the time, right? It's probably a lot deeper of a relationship than you've been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's very quick and it's very like it's life or death in that house. So like picture only having 16 people to relate to. Only 16. There's no one else. There's no family. There's no phone a friend.
There's
no news. There is no nothing. You only have these 16 people. And at the same time, you are simultaneously relying upon these 16 people for your life, which your life in this game, sure. But in the game, while you're in the game, there is no in this game. It's just your life. Like everything is life or death. Every decision that you make in that house is like if someone cuts you, it is the most horrific, painful, horrible thing. So yes, you make bonds that cannot ever be replaced or relatable to a real relationship in the real world.
Right,
because they're not that intense. Like,
what did you miss the most being in that house? I feel like I would say my phone. I feel like I'd be like, oh, I can't wait to touch my phone again. But there must have been something else than that.
I mean, other things.
You missed
I mean, well, I didn't.
You missed
no
sex.
Right, because you didn't hook up with him.
No, there was no actual sex in that house. I mean, intimate relationship.
Wait, can't you have sex in the shower, though?
You can. Okay, so.
Because they don't film you in the shower.
Why not? Why not tell you the real tea?
They do film you in the shower.
They do film you in the shower. So.
What?
Okay, so all of the guys in the house, we decided, all of us, that we were not going to jack off at all in the house.
But can't you do it under the covers?
There are cameras everywhere. So, like, if you're going to do it, you have to, you know that. someone will see you, whether it's a producer or the world, like someone will see what you're doing.
Oh my God. And there are cameras that are on 24/7 that you could buy online, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The live feeds.
That's just not healthy though.
That's so crazy.
All of the boys, like none of us did anything.
What about the women too? Did they have a pact?
I did not ask.
Cause it's just as much of a need.
I agree with you.
Right? I don't agree with that. But so wait, they film you taking shits and pees?
They film you shitting and peeing.
My God. Yeah, what?
They do, because there's sometimes you can have strategy in the bathroom. Toilet. Like you can pull somebody into the toilet. So there needs to be cameras in
there. You are signing your life away.
Yeah. God. So we made it 33 days, I think, the men in the house. And then
You guys just all circled.
Where did you jack off?
It was in the HOH shower. It was the HOH shower. It looked like a Jackson Pollock for the rest of the season. I'm so sorry if anyone that's listening is offended by this kind of talk, but I feel like it's a safe space here where I can talk about all of my bodily fluids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
One of the things that you did in the Big Brother house, you came out of the closet as Ariana Grande's brother.
Yeah, I did.
Do you think that, you know, was
the most brilliant
good.
Move ever in the history of Big Brother? Yeah, it was the most brilliant move ever in the history of Big Brother. Because I was going home that week. It was day 55. I was going home and I created such a distraction that I stayed till day 88.
So you were waiting for the right moment to do that.
I was backed into a corner and I completely came up with that strategy in a Amazing. Moment of desperation because I was caught lying. I lied to everyone in the house. And those, I'm so sorry. I love you, Nicole, and I love you, Christine. But like, you guys should have taken my offer and we should have gone to the end together because that was the only way that we were going to flip that house. Oh my God, I want to take it.
I feel like I'm in the game
Nicole,
with you.
I love you. I love you, Nicole.
This is an alliance.
I literally was like, let's flip this house on the guys. Let's do a girls alliance. Let's have it be girl. By the way, girls alliances still do not work in the Big Brother house.
Why?
They have not worked.
Why?
They don't. Women.
Girls are too jealous or
flippy floppy. They don't sit together. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. I don't. Mm-hmm. I also think that there's something to do with like the fact that like feeling like we need like a masculine like straight man like to like carry those people to the end because you need to be able to win comps. But meanwhile, like I was winning all the comps. Like, so I don't know. I don't know why it doesn't work, but please, please God, they're trying to do it on Survivor this season. And I'm like, girls, please.
Please do it.
Please stay together.
Because it's funny. I feel like even in, let's bring it back to Squid Game.
Yeah.
You've watched, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of the competitions, like 2 or 3 of the games, it was like, we need men. It's all strength.
It's what they think.
But the tug of war, anybody listening that is watching Squid Game or watching, there is a tug of war scene. There's a tug of war scene and it's all strategy.
Yes.
I think women. If they get out of each other's way, are literally the strongest creatures in the world.
I agree
with what you're saying.
And I've been raised by my mother, my sister, like I have some like powerful women,
badass
in my lineage,
women,
my
yes.
grandmother. But it's like there's something about an all girls alliance that never ever works on
society.
In a
just teaches
TV
women
format
to not trust each other,
and I don't know why. But those girls took my deal right to the men. And then as soon as the men came to me, they were like, did you do this? And I was like, yes, I did. And they were like, why?
Clean.
And I was like, because I am riddled with guilt over the fact that I've been lying to you about who I am. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I'm famous.
I'm gonna kill you.
It worked. It completely worked. And they got so distracted by the
Did you say I'm famous? No, you didn't.
No, I said I'm a social media mogul. That's where it came from. Yes, that line.
Oh,
I said I'm a social media mogul.
Was it like a movie? Was everyone like,
yeah? Oh, there's so many gifts of me saying I'm a social media mogul. And it's so funny because people like, it's like kind of this line that like lives in like infamy now in the Big Brother world. And it was like, and I was like, it worked. And that's the thing I think that people are so gagged about and gooped about. Like if you're mad about anything about that season, it's because it worked.
Right.
And because I stayed till day 88 and right. I would have gone all, I probably would have won that thing if it wasn't for that stupid twist where I pushed the button. But honestly,
that's neither
Most
here nor there.
Most people think that I did win, so it's fine.
I mean, honestly, yeah, exactly. It's not always about the winner, right? No, it's the people's winner.
100%. But I don't even know who won that season.
Me either.
Derek.
Oh,
Derek's
a
cop.
Got it.
They stuck an undercover cop in the house, and he did a great job. That's why, like, once I was evicted, I was like, this is great. I'm so happy. And
did you watch it all again?
I have watched my season again. But then I had to take a break. Literally until this season. This is my first season that I've watched since being
Is it just too much?
It's a lot. It's very triggering. Like, again, like imagine it being like your whole life. It's Squid Game. It was like Squid Game. And I'm glad that everyone has seen Squid Game so they know. It's like the contestant of Squid Game, like I would imagine he took some time before he went back. But like I would imagine I would as well. Like and that's why I've been like texting with the producers and like texting with Julie and like I'm much more like involved this year than I have been in the past because I really needed to take a break. But also it was part of my sober journey, honey. Like I'm telling you, like that whole like, you know, a lot of my drinking and using like stemmed from a lot of like the attention, positive and negative, that happened from
right.
the show. A lot of negative too. Like, you know, like you think, you know, I was very, 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 very loved. But of course, we don't pay attention to that. We pay attention to the 12 people that hated us.
Of course.
How do you deal with that? How do you deal with all the hate that you get?
Well, a lot of sobriety really helped. I got to tell you that. Like, and you know, and like now I've gotten to a place where I understand that like, you know, A, the haters keep you relevant, which is great. But also like if you are a person that is going out of your way to hate upon somebody, like you are fundamentally broken. And so
it's
like
so
it is
sick
my,
to me. It's so weird.
Yeah, and like me as a person who has worked so hard to be like in a good place, like have to be able to like recognize that hate is coming from an unhealthy person and that I have, and pray for them and be like, yo, I hope you find the peace and serenity that I do in my life because I don't go out of my way to hate on anyone.
Mm-hmm. I'm the exact same way.
Who are busy?
No, send it to your friend over DM if you want to talk shit on me. Yeah. Don't leave it on my page. Like, yeah. It's too much.
Yeah, from on. And it's like, you know, I hope that, you know, they find like peace and serenity in their life and happiness. And those are unhappy people. So I pray for them
exactly.
to be happy.
Right.
I really do.
Big Brother has such a cult following. I feel like it's polarizing, you know, like
it's nuts.
I hate him. I like him.
Yep.
He played well or he was cheap. Like not everybody has their sister like Ariana Grande. They can't pull that. Like I can imagine all the things that they would say. But at the end of the day, you just sleep at night knowing it's jealousy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You released a video and it was commemorating your...
Are you on OnlyFans?
You have my whole video?
No way.
You released a video commemorating your sobriety and it was you singing Rain On Me. And people were so hateful about it. Like, what?
They were? I don't even read it.
What did they say?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
Was it like rain on me, like alcohol rain on me?
No, it just came around social media.
Alcohol.
Yes. That's what Gaga wrote the song about.
Oh, I actually think I
really?
Knew that.
The lyrics are...
Wait, I didn't know that. Explain.
The lyrics are, I'd rather be dry, but at least I'm alive. Rain on me.
Got it.
Dry meaning like I'd rather be...
sober.
So, well, or not drinking. Dry is what we say for people that don't drink alcohol.
Dry.
But at least I'm alive.
At least I'm alive. Rain on me.
Sober is like when you practice the spiritual principles behind the program of sobriety. But like dry is literally like someone who just like does not drink.
What are the principles of sobriety?
Well, you know, like spiritual practice, a spiritual program, you know, attending meetings, like having a sponsor, sponsees, like being part of the program. you know, things like that. You know, like practicing the, you know, the whole package of sobriety that encompasses like the, mm-hmm. The mental, physical, spiritual, the triangle. Whereas, you know, dry is just like, I don't drink. Like, I might be white knuckling it, but I'm not putting that bottle yeah. in my mouth no matter what. But, so that's what the lyrics of the song are. I'd rather be dry.
I didn't know that.
But at least I'm alive. So, like I, it but so rain on me. And it's like, it's coming, it's a person who's so desperate for peace, but can't seem to put down the bottle. But, like, is like, at least I'm alive.
Got it. You know,
like, at least I'm still breathing. Because
that's powerful shit dead. When you yeah. explain it like that. I yeah. mean, for a pop smash,
yeah, right?
I really like that just actually blew my mind.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring it down, but one of my favorite quotes is you don't have to be happy at all to be happy you're alive.
Hello.
I love that.
Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we move on from that, I want to ask you one question. So as a 4-year sober person,
yes.
what do you think and feel about California sober?
Wait, what is California sober, first of all? Because I don't even know what that is.
California sober is basically, I keep thinking this tube is part of, attached to my head.
Oh my God. No, she's behind you, mother.
She's behind me, mother. basically, for me, my program of sobriety is any mind or mood altering substance, which mm-hmm. would include marijuana.
And coffee.
No, coffee's okay. You cannot take coffee away from an alcoholic or an addict, honey.
Me either.
They will go straight back to the bottle real fast. You know what I'm saying? That's why then we also tell you, like, you know, be kind to yourself when you decide to give up drugs and alcohol. Because, like, you know, like, if you're a smoker, if you, like, pick up a cigarette for, like, a couple of months, like, okay, like, be kind to yourself. Because, like, you're not doing drinks, you're what you used to be doing. But I don't smoke. But anyway, I'm just saying, be kind to yourself. And part of that includes coffee. Like coffee. I'm actually weaning myself off caffeine. It is
good.
Very, very hard. But it's
oh,
good.
Oh, really? I'll take both of yours.
What was the question?
I love coffee. How do you feel about California sober?
Oh, California sober. So it doesn't work for me. Like I can't entertain because once I am out of my mind, like once I am on a mind or mood altering substance, it would be very easy for me to like pick up drugs or alcohol because what I spend my time doing is rewiring my brain to instead of like when I am triggered by a negative comment on Instagram, when I'm triggered by a fight with a friend, or when I am triggered by something that really angers me in the world or in politics, that I've been rewiring myself instead of picking up alcohol or a pill bottle, I pick up the phone. Yes, exactly. I call someone. I ask them what's going on in their life. Or I talk to a friend that's sober and I'm like, listen, I am itching. My body is burning because of what I just saw that motherfucking orange ex-person president tweet. You know, like I'm on fire. So what do I do about it? And then they're like, breathe. Let's talk it out. Like, have you meditated today? Did you? And I was like, oh, wow. Thank you so much for helping me. So I spent a lot of time rewiring my brain. So, but if I give it something like weed, or that's why like I have to be careful with like painkillers, even if I have surgery or if
right.
I go like to the doctor for something, like I have to make sure that I'm like being very careful because it would be very simple for my brain to be like, oh, I remember that feeling. Let's
totally.
Do more of
100%.
That. Let's do more of that. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, if I like say I get a prescription for Vicodin and I take a Vicodin and then all of a sudden I'm like, wow.
This feels great.
Right. I don't have a problem anymore. Mm-hmm.
I'm in pain.
Give me some whiskey. I used to do that with whiskey. Let's do that. You know, it's so easy. So for me, California sober goes into that kind of like red line behaviors where it's like that might be just enough of an opening for my disease of alcoholism to take root.
Right.
And then I may not come back.
Sorry, what is California sober again?
Again, it's like drinking, it's like being able to smoke marijuana. I'm sober, but I smoke weed.
Right.
But
it's always weed. Like, got I'm it. Sober, but blank.
I'm sober, but, you know.
Right. Like, so it works for certain people, you're saying, but others it doesn't.
I think, I mean, I don't know because I'm only me, so I can only speak from my personal experience around sobriety, but for, yeah, I would say for me, it definitely doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And I think that if it works for other people, then that's amazing. And I think that maybe that, you know, their disease might look slightly differently than mine does.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes total sense to me. Nobody, it's always like a different shade of blue with every single person. Yeah. So, I mean, I've heard California sober and I know California is a very much weed state.
Yeah.
You know, it's very like everyone is high here. I don't partake usually in weed because it just makes me feel really lazy and yeah. I get like anxiety in my head.
Yeah.
So I can't really, but my husband does and my friends do. And I totally am like, do you want me to buy it for you? Come over. But I don't do that. I'll just drink. That's fine. But yeah, I just wanted to get your take on that because it is a form of sobriety.
Yes. For like addiction, like people that choose weed as their device of choice, like will tell you like weed is enough to ruin their lives.
Right.
You know, like, so it's just, you know, listen, I'm not here to preach in any way, shape or form about anything. I'm just telling you, for me, I don't entertain that that notion because I think it's dangerous for me to think that any sort of mind or mood altering substance is an okay thing for me.
Right.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Can we pivot to your dating life? You're in a happy relationship right now.
Yeah,
right?
I'm engaged.
Yes, oh my God, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's such a beautiful ring also.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's really big.
Wait, can I see? Can I see?
Is it Gigi gorgeous?
It's really
oh,
big.
Oh yeah, it's big.
Oh my
it's
God, do you want to see mine?
It's yes, gorgeous.
She's like, I seen yours, bitch. I was there. Do you have a wedding date planned?
Not a date set yet. We do have a wedding planner and we are getting into the throes of it. We're starting with the venue. Then we have to, you know.
Are you nervous? Who's your planner, can I ask? You haven't said.
No, I haven't said yet. So we'll
okay.
wait.
Okay. Tell me off camera,
wait.
Though.
We'll wait, yes.
I know a lot of them. You're getting married. Okay, yeah. Oh, I'm excited. I love weddings. Well, best of luck. And just have fun with it. I'm sure you've heard it tons of times.
And I do, like, you know, it's going to be, like, if you saw our proposal video, I proposed to Hale in virtual reality. So, because he's a gamer, he's a streamer.
What?
Yeah.
That's so sick.
And
that's
it's so awesome. So, I proposed to him in virtual reality. It was, like, the first one of its kind. So, I'm really hoping to bring that kind of gaming, a nerdy, like, fantasy to the wedding in some way. Like, I really want it to have another, like, kind of, like, first. You know, I don't want it to be a typical wedding in right. any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I don't want to just do like the, you know, whatever everyone else has done. You
right.
know? So like, I'm going to make sure to try hard to like bring something like unique and like hopefully like technological
oh
like
God,
to the ceremony.
That's so exciting.
I don't know. That's where I'm kind of like that's my head is at.
Right. At literally whatever. I always tell everyone, just be selfish on your wedding day because it is literally all yours. Yeah. And it sounds like you're already doing that. Like it's, you're like, I'm making it ours.
You really sound selfish.
No, in the best way. Your wedding day, bitch, amp the level of selfishness. Like,
oh my
really?
God, he has a VR wedding.
A VR wedding.
So
everyone's just,
that'd be cute though.
I mean, hey, and
it would be
for like everybody that you actually didn't invite.
Yeah,
like, just send them a link.
Oh my God.
360.
Put on your Oculus.
Yeah, on your Oculus. That's why I proposed to him with an Oculus Quest
that.
On our faces.
I am very excited.
Yeah, it was cool. It was pretty cool. So I'm excited.
Were you always lucky in love? You know, like feminine queer person to feminine queer person. You have these walls in your head of like, oh my God, no one's going to find me desirable. And now, like, you know, you're engaged. a lot of our people listening to this podcast probably feel undesirable. Like, what do you have any words of advice for them?
Well, for me, mine was very, very tied to sobriety. When I was drinking and using, no one could keep my attention for more than a night. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that for sure.
And there were many nights.
There are 365 nights in a year. And I know that from experience. And no one was keeping my attention for more than one of those 365 days. So, you know, eventually once I got sober, like that is when I started to like understand like what it truly meant to find a partner, like what it really meant to like have. And like I look into Hale's eyes and like I know like he loves me more. Like I am the person that he loves most in the world, you know? And like that like
seeing
you
that know, I could cry. I could cry
in someone else. You're like, ugh, you know what I'm saying? Totally. And it's just like, it just, and it makes me want to like, you know, it makes me happy to like go out of my way to like do like nice, like sweet things for him or like to make sure he's okay. Or like I want to hear about his day at work. Like those kind of things that I never ever cared
gave a fuck about
to do about anyone else. Mm. I don't care about your day at work.
Yeah,
I don't care about how you're doing.
Ask just, me about
yeah,
me.
Exactly. Like, just like, you know what? Like, let me talk at you.
Have you ever, I have to ask, with a name like Hale, have you guys ever been in a hailstorm together?
Oh,
I hate you.
We haven't yet, because we've been in California for almost our entire relationship.
Oh my God, well, your first
except
one.
For like think, June in New York.
Think of me for your first one. I'll be third wheeling. I am the Hale.
You are the Hale. Just dunk, 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 dunk. It's GJ.
Well, I'm so excited for you, and I'm so happy that you found love. Wait, did you find him in L.A. or New York?
I met him in L.A., yeah.
Because in my research, I found out that you grew up in New York City.
Yeah.
What's, like, the dating life? What's the difference in dating between New York and L.A.?
Oh, boy. I think, in general, I don't know. For me, like, listen, like, I spent my time in New York City at The Box. Like, do you know The Box?
Of course. My favorite.
It's the best place on earth.
The booth up top to the right is mine.
Oh, yeah.
With the carpet and the shears.
Okay, so very good. Yeah, exactly. So, like, that's why I live my life in New York City, which is, like, you know, like...
Crazy. Fuck wild.
Like dating, you know, what dating in New York? Are you crazy?
Dating.
I don't know. I once took someone to go see Dear Evan Hansen, and at the end of Act One, I was like, this is really depressing. You want to go to The Box? And then I didn't go home with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's...
It's one of those places.
I also did not love Dear Evan Hansen. Oh my God. I've only been disappointed twice in a musical on Broadway, and Dear Evan Hansen was one of them.
I'm not rushing to see the movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do want to see the movie because I want to know what happens in Act Two, and I don't want to go see the play again. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing happens. The book is so weak.
I was very sad. I was very sad, and I was like, this is really depressing. And of course, clearly, I had no coping skills to deal with, like, my own, like...
Sadness.
Feelings or sadness, right. Or, like, looking
you
at
were
myself.
Like, I'm out of here.
So I was like, The Box? And he was like, yeah.
Anyone?
The Box? Yeah, right. Great. Perfect. That's great. Should we skip Act Two and go to The Box? Yeah. Okay.
I love that. I'm right there with you still.
Yeah.
So, The Box is home.
Yeah, The Box is home.
That's home base.
I can't wait. Open back up. Guys, I think it's opening up this month. Let's go.
It wasn't when I was there for Fashion Week.
I just started.
Let's go back for the
open. Wait, where is The Box again? I never know the names of the places.
Christie between
to.
Stanton and Rivington.
Is that real? Hell's Quarters.
Yes, I've been there a few times in my day. No, it's down there. Lower, what's it called? The East Village. Yeah.
Okay.
And it
that's
is.
That's Gigi's hood. Yeah. I'm an
is
uptown
it?
Girl.
I've been to New York so many times and I don't even know where I'm at.
No,
you're a downtown
get in the,
bitch.
Get in the car.
And then you get out.
Say
of
hi
to the
Box. Yes. And then I get in the get car and say hi, hotel. To,
yeah, exactly. And say, you know, hi, Mandarin Oriental.
It's
and
very then go much to sleep, that.
You know, exactly.
And then wake up and do it all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that even English?
Yeah. Happen again? Yes, left. Bad again. dating light in New York, I think is, for me, I think it's less, it's all Grindr. Who would care? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot everywhere.
So I've heard.
Everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah. Was
sometimes
dating.
I'll Grindr for my
and
friends.
I met Hale
like,
in
nope,
person.
Nope, nope.
That was the thing. I met Hale in person at Oil Can
really?
Harry's. It was a country line dancing night. He was dancing on the floor, having the time of his life. And I just saw him and I was like, that's him.
Oh, my God.
That's the one.
So
that's
I
so cute.
Asked him out in person.
First time you met?
Oh, my God.
Yes, in person. Exchanged numbers. Didn't go home together that night. Had a real date. the next time, didn't go home together that night, and then third night.
And then you were like, I'm marrying this man.
Were you behind the scenes with all your girlfriends, like, oh my God, I met this guy, or were you kind of keeping it to yourself?
So chill.
Okay, cool.
Very,
you
very
don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, no, and I was still kind of like, in that phase where I still didn't believe in love.
Right.
You know, I was still kind of like,
what the fuck am I feeling? Yeah, what is this?
Like, jaded.
What, like, what? Yeah. And still even like now I feel like I still have a very like mature sense of what love is, like as opposed to like when I was like a teenager or like in my early 20s and I was like, I love him, you know, like mommy, you know, like crying to all my
friends.
How
do you look at love now? Is it like a partnership?
Yeah, like a partnership, like a friendship, like someone that I'm looking forward to like spending the rest of my life with, you know. It feels very like, it feels responsible.
Totally.
Because I feel like love like early,
it's like a level up,
like irresponsible.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Like, it was like, I was like, I'm so madly in love.
You're like losing a part of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, exactly, losing a part of yourself. Yeah. I have kept,
oh, I hate that.
I have kept myself in this relationship.
You
which
should
has
only
been
be amplified
awesome.
By the person that you're
exactly.
with. They should be like, be yeah. crazier, be in the most positive
yes.
way, of course. You know,
yes.
be more outrageous, be more outspoken. Like they should push that out of you. And the yeah. second you feel like you're being like leveled down, it's
diminished.
Probably not the one for you. And it's insecurity on their part, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably good we got all of our one-night stands and all the box nights out of our yeah. system. So we can go back as married women.
Yeah, exactly. We're so married and it's so fierce.
Will you have kids?
I don't know. We have our baby, Appa, who just turned one. It's our puppy.
She's an angel.
Yeah. You met Appa.
Literally the yeah. cutest dog ever.
On earth. On
literally
earth ever.
A stuffed animal.
It literally looks...
What kind of dog is she?
A red toy poodle. He's a red toy
cute.
Poodle.
Cute.
And
like
I love
him. They're
like
the cutest breeds ever.
But again, like I'm sure if he's anything like me, he likes being called she too. So
I mean, I could tell she's a queen. The way
yeah.
I pet her,
yeah.
she's like more.
Well,
more.
The thing is, as soon as you pet her, he goes like this. He spreads his legs completely, like spread eagle, like back. Like he's like, no, you're gonna rub my belly.
That, like, means, Susan, that means like, he's happy,
very happy, very
and
happy
content.
Boy. Yeah,
that is so cute.
Yeah, and he's perfect. And he's one, and he's cute, and you know, so like that's where we are now with our kid journey, learning how a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, beyond, you're gonna have to change your life when you have a kid.
Of responsibility. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of like my friends who have been married for a long time are like, we're getting twins. I know I have a second friend of married men who are getting twins in their lives. Like, and I'm like, yikes. You know,
yeah.
like I'm not there right now, and that's okay. Like,
right.
this is because,
totally.
As we say in the, you know, in the world of alcoholism, one day at a time. I'm right here today, and where I am is in a wonderful place that is not talking about children. But like, maybe in a year, that'll be completely different.
I love that.
Yeah.
Don't rule it out, but just not right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm obsessed
you know?
With that
yeah.
way of thinking.
One step at a time.
Come on, Jordan Sparks.
Oh, I love her.
Before we get into our queries, let's talk about something fun, something that you're about to do. You have a new podcast
I
called
do.
SpongeBob Binge Pants.
How cute.
With your co-host Hector Navarro. Are you
Hello.
Excited?
I'm very excited. I'm joining y'all. In the podcast world.
I know.
Isn't that fun?
Wow. Okay. So have you always been a SpongeBob fan? Because
yes.
I have. But you guys are recapping like every single episode.
So we're recapping every episode, starting at episode one, starting at the pilot episode. And then we're going, but we're also getting to interview like some of the cast and the crew.
Really?
The iconic,
oh, that's fun.
Yes. And some of the most amazing people that we get to talk to. And we've already had Carolyn Lawrence, who plays Sandy Cheeks. She's been on twice already.
Oh my
we've
God.
Only we've only recorded 10 episodes. Like we're a hit amongst the cast, you know, and it's just, it's been really fun that people like want to come and talk and share because the show has been on the air for 20 years.
It's iconic. It's beyond iconic.
And there's
makeup lines.
Yes.
Like there is so much to do with SpongeBob.
Wait, okay. So I talked to the woman Teal, who is her name is Teal, and she is the VP of color for the SpongeBob universe. Yes, I know.
What?
Her title is the VP of color. She created SpongeBob Yellow.
Like the yellow.
Like mixed it herself, like
wow.
with paints. And like
wow.
created, yeah.
And her name is Teal?
Yeah, Teal. Yeah.
Makes I need
sense.
To know
and
if that's like her birth name.
Yeah, exactly. And her birth name is Teal. I asked.
That's crazy.
I said, I was like, was that your chosen name? No,
nope. Just your
birth
favorite
name.
Color.
I know a couple of people named Teal, actually.
Wait,
mixed
SpongeBob Yellow, and so is credited for creating the Pantone color of the year, which was SpongeBob Yellow.
What?
Like, is that crazy? And Patrick
yes.
Pink. Like this, and Nickelodeon Orange. Like, this woman created these
what?
Colors with like paints. like in the 80s. No, 90s.
Yeah,
oh my God, good for her.
Well, maybe, I don't know. She was maybe, working on like other stuff before SpongeBob. So I don't know when she created Nickelodeon Orange, but it's just very exciting.
Like, that's amazing. That's
stories
amazing.
Like that that you're going to get to hear on the podcast that are people that are like SpongeBob fans, like I am my whole life, will just find it so interesting. And then, of course, like we get to watch these episodes and then talk about like our lives and how they relate to the themes.
That's
and
so
the
fun.
Subjects that are coming up with when SpongeBob and Patrick and Squidward, like, you know, like it's so fun to watch it as like, an adult to like understand like Squidward is just like a self-loathing man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Who's like, your favorite character?
Mrs. Puff.
Mrs. Puff? Oh, that's
I love
cute.
Mrs. Puff. I mean, I am SpongeBob, obviously.
Main character energy. You know,
I have a very main character energy.
I am definitely Mr. Krabs' daughter. What's her name?
Pearl.
I'm definitely
Pearl. Oh, my God.
Pearl.
Mark, you are Pearl. I think I'm SpongeBob too, Avi.
Yeah,
I'm Sarah Jessica in Sex and the City too.
Of course.
I think I might be Plankton, though.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
Played by Mr. Lawrence, who we also interviewed in the first part of our first 10 episodes that we have already recorded.
I think he's just so funny. Every time he dies, he just comes on back.
He comes on. He's like, oh, God, crabs. He is so funny, and it's so brilliant. But yes, I get Plankton energy. Plankton's great.
I love Plankton.
Also, okay, Perseverance.
I will never
story
stop,
of perseverance.
Bitch. Stubborn like a Taurus I am.
Exactly.
I will never stop.
Like, you're going to tell me I can't get that Krabby Patty formula? Watch me.
That's maybe what the energy is.
There you go.
That is the energy, bitch.
It is the energy. I really didn't even connect those two.
Yeah, well, that's why we have SpongeBob Binge Pants. So you can see these themes that are playing out because those characters are brilliant. And also, like you say, Sarah Jessica in Sex and the City, like, think about it. Like, there's if you have your friend group, there's always a SpongeBob, there's a Patrick, there's a Squidward, there's a Sandy.
Oh, my God.
There's a Mr. Krabs,
yes, right.
Like, you know, it's totally. Like, it's like, you know, it's Sex and the City, but before the girls.
Who are you in Sex and the City?
Oh, I mean, it does depend on my friend group, but like, I was a Samantha, obviously.
Oh my God.
Like, after the stories that I've told on this podcast alone, you should know that I was
all three
Samantha.
Of us were.
Now I might be more of a Carrie, but I don't know. Not
I'm
today.
Definitely a Charlotte, I would say.
Yeah, no.
No, you're not.
So mad. Gigi Gus is so close to the camera just now. You're like, no, you're
no,
not.
No, you're not. Okay, before we let you go, will you
I'm
stay
Liza
us?
I'm Liza Minnelli. That's who I am in Sex and the City.
Oh, my
Wait,
God.
Who? Liza Minnelli.
Oh, my God, in the movie,
Liza
too.
Liza Minnelli. Yeah.
Bitch, I can't with you at the gay wedding. Yeah. At your own wedding.
Yeah.
Will
I'm sorry,
you,
before
will
you're...
you stay with us for some queries? We
yeah,
have three
of course.
Queries.
Yay.
Okay, we'll be right back with Frankie
Are we
Grande.
The three queries? Like the fairies of queerness?
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
All right, we are back answering your queries with none other than the Frankie Grande.
I'm back.
We haven't gotten anywhere, guys. You, of course, can call our hotline at 1-844-QUERIES. That's QUEERYS. Ask us absolutely anything. And we get into the juice. So are you ready to
yes,
answer some questions?
That's the best number ever, by the way.
1-844-QUERIES.
If this podcast ever goes anywhere, you better make that your cell phone number.
Oh, of course. Is there enough digits? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a number.
We'll find a way to make it work.
I cannot.
Okay. Right, our first query. Here we go.
Hey, Gigi. Hey, Mimi. My name is LG. I'm from Jupiter, Florida. Love your show. Gigi, you and Nats are a huge inspiration for me. I don't really know a whole lot of other trans people to look up to, but you two have been a huge part of my journey, and I just want to say thank you so much for that. My question is, I'm in the process of wanting to change how to spell my name to be more masculine for myself. But I don't know where to go or the direction to go into. I was hoping maybe you can kind of help me and where to start and where to look at. But once again, I just want to say thank you for all the work that you do for our community. And I love you all. Thank you so much.
LGN. I know it was such a sweet, sweet message. I don't know if I got your name right. LGN. That was a really sweet message. Thank you for calling in. Gigi, do you have any advice on someone who is looking for their real name?
Ooh, okay. So, I mean, they said that they're trying to respell it to make it more masculine. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great starting place. Like, I love it when I meet somebody that either hasn't changed their name or has altered their name in some way. But I also love a completely different name. So I just love just people finding themselves. Like, my Gigi is nothing to do with my old name, right? I mean, it does a little bit, but it's completely different. I feel like the only way that you can go about this is by being so stubborn. Go on Google, your city, your county, everything. There's so many rules. Like, when I was changing my name when I was 19, it was insane. Mm. The amount of paperwork. Yeah. I had to go to meet a registrar to meet them and have them sign and tell my case to a complete stranger. I'm like, I am changing my name legally. I am paying for this. This should not be an issue. I am so sorry. Nowadays, I went back and changed my last name. It is literally a 3-box sheet of paper. It is so easy.
Really?
Yes. In Canada, literally, it is so easy. So these things will get easier. Not to say that you're going to be changing your name over and over again, obviously, but literally just stay very stubborn on it. And just if you hear no one place, you're asking the wrong person. But just also make sure that it is the name you want, because when you change it, you're not going to want to like change it again, you know?
Try it out for size.
Yeah, so good luck, yeah. Honestly. And you're going the right way. I mean, wanting to change your name is a huge step. Wanting to, you know, fight the odds and do it is a whole other. So good luck, LGN.
It's also so personal. Like, it's hard to give advice on what your name should be because there are so many different ways to find a name. I think a lot of people have their different gender name from, you know, young. Like, oh, what would your parents have named you if you were a boy? I think that's a cute way of finding out your name. Like, what were you supposed to be named always? That would be a cute thing to look into. Frankie, do you have any advice for this person?
I was supposed to be John Michael. Was supposed to be my name.
Really?
Yes,
John Michael. Michael.
Yeah,
that's a cute name.
Was one of my names, but I named it after my grandfather, Frank. Yeah, Frank Grande. And I also hyphenated my name from, so I was Frank James Marchioni, and my mom's maiden name is Grande, and I wanted to add her maiden name into our name. So then I became Frank James Grande Marchioni, and then my stage name became Frankie James Grande. So I've had a few different names in my life. And basically, whatever feels good. It felt right to me. You know, like, the thing that bothered me about my last name was, like, I didn't like that it was Frankie Grande Marchioni. So I changed the pronunciation of our last name. That's why everyone says Grande.
It's Grandi.
It was Grandi.
Grandi.
Yeah, I was raised Frankie Grandi.
Interesting.
And I didn't like that it was sing-songy. And also I wanted, like, originally it was Grande, but we Americanized it.
Exactly.
To be more American, so it was Frankie Grandi. And then I decided I wanted to reclaim my Italian heritage, and also I didn't want it to rhyme. So I was like, well, I'm Frankie Grande. And then
that makes
sense. And now that's why we're the Grandes.
I love that.
So, and it was just because it felt right. Like, I was like, I don't like it. So I'm changing it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I was like, you know, tried it on and for size, like a bunch. And then eventually I was like, no, this feels good. And by the way, that was such a beautiful message. Like, you are such an icon for the community.
Oh, thank
you. And that's how we get through hate. Like, that's how we have to remind ourselves, like that message that you just got, like that's what we're doing it for, you know, like not to, you know, not because of those haters that like need something else to do with their time. It's like for messages like that, like I was like really emotional. Like, it's so beautiful. Aww. Like the way that you do stand up for this community.
Oh, and love
that's
you.
Why we do what we do, you know?
Right. And I like, totally agree.
Welcome. And if it comes with hate, then absolutely. You know what?
Then we
take the hate, because we are also, that one person that we're helping is worth any amount of hate we can 100%. Possibly.
Absolutely.
Any. Yeah.
Okay, let's hear our second query. Here we go.
Hey, sweetheart. I was wondering, how would you imagine yourself in 10 years since you're so beautiful? And I was just wondering if you're still going to make, you know, YouTube channel shit. Anyways, love you.
Thank you for that message. That's a good question. Actually, I've barely been asked that question. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Frankie, you go first.
Well, you know, I definitely was, I identified very strongly as a YouTuber for a while. And then I got on Big Brother. And as soon as I was done, I was like, as soon as I was off that show, I was like, I'm never making a YouTube video ever again.
I love
because
that.
I am exhausted.
Right.
I was exhausted.
It's hard, right?
Of the filming and the editing. And the, I did everything myself in 2 videos a week, honey. And
wow.
I was like, woo, as soon as I had those millions of followers, I was like, I'm going to go back to what I want to do, which
right.
is be a host and an actor. Because that's what I always wanted to do, is be a host and an actor. But, you know, I wanted to get there. You know, I wanted so badly to be famous and to be part of the culture and
uh-huh.
to have the platform in order to, you know, affect change. And then, you know, like now I'm like, oh, better start editing YouTube videos again.
Well, congrats, girl.
Ready to go. But so that's an interesting question. And, you know, where do I see myself in 10 years? You know, I'm hoping that it'll be even more of an actor. You know, like I'm very grateful. Like, you know, I shot my first feature film this year,
wow,
which is
congrats.
Very exciting. Thank you. A super gay camp horror comedy.
Yes.
Summoning Sylvia. And it'll be out at some point next year on some
so
platform
excited.
Somewhere. So
oh
I will
God,
definitely come back on.
Go to the premiere
when I have
with you.
Premiere. So, you know, I'm really hoping, you know, obviously, you know, becoming a reality TV star, YouTuber, reality TV star, like I'm very famous for my personality and it's very hard to be recognized as an actor, even though that's what I was trained for my whole life. You know, like people always see me as Frankie Grande, the person, the personality. So I'm hoping that I will continue to get these opportunities to show up and listen, I'm willing to do the work. So like if I give them the opportunity, I show up, I sweat and I will come. I'm off book. I'm ready to go. Main character. So I'm hoping that I will continue to have some more acting roles under my belt and while continuing to be allowed to celebrate my personality because it's a really good one.
Right. And that's what it's all about. I feel kind of the same way. You know, I mean, I've kind of distanced myself a little bit from YouTube just because of the community and the toxicity and all that mm-hmm. stuff. But what I've really learned is what that question means is, are you still going to share your life? Because that's what a lot of it is. They want to see where you are on a weekly basis. They want to see who you're with, what you look like, all that stuff. I personally will never always be on YouTube. I'll go in when I want to make a video or when I want to do a collab, whatever. But I'll never not share my life. This has been my life for over a decade. I'm in it for the long haul. And just like you, I'm ready to do the work. If there's a gig, if there's something that I'm passionate about, I want to do something. And the sky's the limit. Like I've already done so much shit that I'm like, wait, I did that. Like the limits are endless. And I feel like that's what that question really means. Like, are you ever going to just disappear from us? And the answer is no, baby.
I agree with that. I 100% agree that I'm never going to disappear from, I'm never going to stop sharing.
You can't
life.
Get rid of us.
Yeah.
We're the ultimate
and thank
virus.
God I married, and I think I'm about to marry a streamer. Because he is not about hiding our life away from the public either, which
that.
Is great. Because
right.
like a lot of me was very protective of our relationship in the beginning.
Right.
Like very protective. Like no one will see.
Because you love
then,
him.
Yeah, because I do love him. But now he's like streaming, you know, 5 days a week on Twitch, talk about everything. So he's way more accessible than I am these days. So go follow at Hale
oh,
on
Hale.
Twitch.
This question is impossible to answer for me because I do not think about the past or the future. I always try to live in the moment. Do you guys think that like where you are now, you would have thought of 10 years ago? Because I would not believe myself if you told me where I am now 10 years ago.
Oh, I genuinely would not believe you.
Yeah, like I'm in such a happier place. I mean, for us, 10 years ago was high school. So, you know, maybe that's a big reason why.
Yeah,
but.
Are you talking about my birth?
You were still dating the same guy though, Mark.
I know. Oh my God, my 11th or 12th, I don't know yet, 11th or 12th anniversary is coming up. It's Halloween. I have to count. I have to make sure what number it is, but I think it's 11.
11, 12, it's all the same thing.
Yeah,
I
what
mean,
was it? 19? Was
oh, wait.
It 2000? <'Cause> it
really, carry the
was
one,
was it 2010?
I did go into this relationship thinking, okay, this is going to be 10 years. And now it's 10 years. I don't know. Is there going to be another 10 years? Let's see.
Oh, there will be. You
kidding.
Guys will be. We'll get in deeper on your relationship.
I'm kidding.
And we'll have, you know, him in on the podcast. I'm just kidding. Okay, I think we have time for one more.
Let's do it.
One more? Okay.
Hi, Gigi. My name is Everett. I've been following you for almost 10 years now. You actually inspired my own transition. I don't really have a question for you. I'm sorry, but I just wanted to tell you that you changed my life and you continue to change lives. And honest to God, if it wasn't for you, I probably would not be on this earth, because you helped me discover my soul and my energy. And now I'm putting those two things into the world, and I want to make a difference as much as you have in the world. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep inspiring people. Keep being beautiful, or should I say gorgeous. And I love you lots.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh,
I see what you did there, Everett.
Oh, a pun.
Oh, what an angel. Love you, Everett. Thank you so much for that. This also goes for like this whole podcast, what we were saying on this episode. We literally do that for these messages.
Yeah.
Like, it is really important hearing that back, because you never know who's listening to your story. So even if you do feel vulnerable sharing whatever you're going through, you never know who is listening or watching you, for that matter. So just be open and vulnerable, and you'll help more people than you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ever, what a beautiful message.
That was such a beautiful message. Okay, that was not a question. So let's do one more question.
Okay. Yes. Love you, Everett.
Yes.
Our last query. Here we go.
Hi, Gigi. Hi, Mimi. It is Brady. You guys just answered my question on Johnny's interview podcast in the query section. I'm kind of freaking out. You guys are so awesome. Thank you for the advice. I know I just need to jump the gun when it comes to just understanding that pain is part of the angle. Like, thank you for that. That really, like, put things into perspective for me. And you guys asked me to tell you guys what my podcast is, which is, I listen to you guys every week. I'm, like, kind of freaking out. Yours is called, obviously, Queerified, and mine is Queer Unfiltered on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I do it with one of my best friends, Antonio, and we just talk about queer life, the ups and the downs, about my trans experience, about his femme queer experience, and we just, like, you know, kind of shoot the shit over there. So that's really awesome. And I'm trying to think of another question I can ask you guys. How did you guys maintain such long-term friendships? I feel like in the queer community, it can be very catty. It can be really hard to maintain longevity because of not necessarily jealousy, but just like pettiness. How did you guys get through that? I'm just really curious. I really admire your long-term friendship. I think that's so awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you for that question, Brady. First of all, congrats on your podcast, Queer Unfiltered. Can't wait to listen to it.
Brady and Antonio for the win. Thanks, guys. Love you.
Gigi, we've been best friends for over 20 years. And the question was, how do you keep a long-term relationship? And I'm just going to like straight up say the answer. It shouldn't be hard. You shouldn't have to try or do anything to keep a relationship. I've talked about this to another friend of mine, and about the fact that we hate when friendships are so hard to keep. Like, when you have to try so hard for a relationship with somebody. I have never in my life felt like it was hard to be friends with you, or I had to work on being friends with you, or I felt anxious that, like, we were fighting. Do you have any advice at all? Because I can't even think of it, because I don't know.
No, I agree with you completely. I feel like every relationship is work, though. Like, I feel like if it is a good one, it is a little bit of work. Like, sometimes you need to put in the time. And on my end, like, with us, I feel like sometimes we've gone a little bit too long without talking. But that's to say that when we do pick up where we left off, it's just that.
Exactly,
we literally just pick up where we left off. And I feel like that's the beauty of a true friend. Like, I don't know if anybody has watched the movie Beaches.
Yeah.
It's like, who is it?
Bette Midler.
Bette Midler. So
am I the friend who dies?
No. Oh my God, one does die. No, I'm just saying I learned that from that movie.
Yes.
I watched it with my mom and her best friend, and they were bawling uncontrollably. I was so young, I had no idea why. I was like, wow, I'll get these women some vodka and tissues. But now I get it. Because it's so true. Like, you do have those friends that you just are friends with forever. Not saying that we will go like 10 years without talking, Mark, but you just do. And if there's pettiness or jealousy or competition or whatever, like, you don't know what that person's going through, even if you do identify with them as your best friend. So just let it run its course, and if it's meant to be, it will be. And if you tried, you could say you tried, and if it doesn't work out, maybe another time. It just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, and I would just say, like, be honest with your friends. And I think that's a lot of part of, like, you know, the demons in our head can create such, like, crazy stories that sometimes if we don't, like, actually say them to the person that we love, especially, like, in the queer community, it's like, did you just look at that guy that I was, like, talking to the other day, and da-da-da-da, like, whatever these stories are that are, like, playing out in your head sometimes are way worse than what's actually happening. So if you
always
if it is your best friend, or is this someone that you are close with, be honest with them. Talk about it. Be like, yo, like, did you just look at that guy that I hooked up with last night? Like, because, like, I don't think that's okay. And, like, just, like, put it out there and then have the conversation. Because I guarantee you that the things that are happening inside of your head are so much worse. Those narratives that we tell ourselves and that we create are so much worse than what's actually happening if you actually sit down your best friend and talk to them about whatever's going on in your head. So, you know, and queer people, I just say, we really do need to support each other from the inside
out.
Like, we really do. Totally. There are way too many people coming at us from the outside for us to fracture from the inside. So
love that. You know, quote.
I said it first here, guys. Put it on, someone put it on a pillow.
I love that.
Put it on a pillow. So, you know, let's be allies to each other as well as, you know, asking for allyship from our allies, you know?
Oh, my God. That's a great answer, Frankie.
Thank you.
You heard it here first.
I don't even know what I said. So make sure you play this back and, like, tweet it at me or something, because I have no idea what I just said.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast. You are queer, but I love you too.
Oh, my God.
Where can people find you? You're starting a new podcast. Yes. Drop everything right
now. Okay, so it's very easy. It's at Frankie J. Grande on everything, including TikTok, which I reluctantly started during COVID and ended up having a really fun time. I didn't want to, but I did, and it was fun. So anyway, Frankie J. Grande on everything. Check it out. And then, of course, you can listen to SpongeBob Binge Pants anywhere you get podcasts, which I'm sure you know because you're listening to this podcast, which means you know how to find others as well. And thank you again for having me on your show. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I can't wait to binge SpongeBob.
Yay!
Love you, Frankie.
Love you too.
Thank you to Frankie Grande, and thank you so much for listening to Queerified. You can follow us on Instagram at Gigi Gorgeous and at Mark Maverick.
As always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes. This helps us so much, guys. Please go and do this right now if you are still listening. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for listening. I love you so much. You've just been queerified.